On my last trip to Germany, I bought a new German Bible based on Martin Luther's original translation, but a revised version. It was published in 2009. Here it is. I bought it because it's kind of a travel Bible. That's what I thought. You can open it nicely and then can close it like this. So it's very convenient. But I started to read some of the translations, and I kind of fell in love with some of it, because there is one particular rendering in one statement in the Bible which almost took my breath away. It totally agrees with the terminology which Herbert W. Armstrong had been preaching for decades, and what we today continue to preach. I like to go into this a little bit because it was quite a surprise to me. I couldn't find that rendering in any other translation so far, but it goes really hand in hand with what the Bible intends to say. So I would like you to go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and let's start reading about what God did to recreate, if you please, the surface of the earth in 6 days. In Genesis 1, in verse 11, you read, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind." And you keep reading that it says in verse 12, "The earth brought forth grass," and so on, "according to its kind." So that has to do with creation of plants. God created them according to their kind. If you drop down to Genesis 1 and verse 21, you read that God created great sea creatures and every living thing that abounded, that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. So again, God created land animals. First of all, he created sea creatures and birds according to their kind. And then in chapter 1 and verse 24, we read, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind." And again in verse 25, it's emphasized that the land animals were created according to the, if you please, land animal kind. Now, then God created man. And you read about this in Genesis 1 and verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, some of you have been in the church for a long time. We'll remember Mr. Armstrong's terminology when he talked about the creation of man. He said, God created man after the God kind. He had created animals after their kind, birds after their kind, plants after their kind, and now he created man after the God kind. Now, the word for God in the Hebrew is the word Elohim, and it's a word which describes a unity consisting of more than one person. And that's why you read, "Let us make man in our image." But the point I want to emphasize here is that man was created according to the God kind. Now, it doesn't specifically say this here, but that is the intended meaning. Now, if you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17, in Acts 17, you read the interesting statement by the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 24. Acts 17 and verse 24. And Paul is saying, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, verse 29, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. So here it talks about that we are of God's offspring. That's how many translations have it. But now comes into play this new Luther Bible from 2009. And they translate, we are of his kind. And then again, we are of the God kind. Totally confirming, without probably knowing, what Mr. Armstrong had been preaching all along, that man was created after the God kind, as he had earlier created animals and plants and so on after their kind. And that brings me to the most important truth, which most people do not understand. And that is that God is a family. Now, you've heard Mr. Armstrong talk about that many times, and we have all understood that for many years, until people came up and said, no, that's wrong. We can say God has a family, but we cannot say that God is a family. But you see, the difference between those two statements is fundamental. Notice Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In heaven, God the Father, Jesus Christ. On earth, you and me. Everyone in whom God's Spirit dwells. God is defined as a family. It is wrong to say that God only has a family without acknowledging the fact that he is a family. And when you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 11, I'd like to read this to you from the New International Version. Hebrews 2:11, which translates it this way. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. God is a family. God is the one who has made man after the God kind. Why? We as sons and daughters of God the Father and brethren of Jesus Christ are to become members of the God family. We will be like Christ, as you read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We will be in the likeness of Christ. And Christ is like God the Father, or to put it differently, he is in the likeness of the Father. You know, when we read about the fact that God created man in accordance with his image, the Luther Bible of 1986 translates it more accurately, let us make man in our image, which will be like us. So likeness, equality, if you please, identity is being described here. The God family is being enlarged through man. Another statement which Mr. Armstrong has been saying time and again, God is reproducing himself through man. Think about this. God is reproducing himself through you and me. And he also said this, God is a kingdom. God is the kingdom of God. Today, we as God's Spirit-begotten children, part of the Church of God, the spiritual body of Christ, are the kingdom of God in embryo. Now, you might have heard that too mentioned over the years. We are today the kingdom of God in embryo. Once we are born of the Spirit, we will see and enter the kingdom of God. We will be Spirit as God is Spirit. We will no longer be flesh and blood. Why? Because we read that flesh and blood cannot inherit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. But once we are born again, we will be like God. We will be God. We will be gods, if you please, members of the family of God. Because that is what Christ confirmed. He said in John chapter 10, and I just want to refer to this, beginning in verse 34, the scripture has said, you are gods. And then he goes on to say, and the scripture cannot be broken. You see, that is our potential. It's our potential to become gods, God beings, members in the family of God. He also said in John 17, and he spoke to the Father, I have given them the glory which you gave me and which I had before the world was. Now think about those statements. Christ says it's the potential of man to receive the glory which I have, the glory which you gave me when I was resurrected, the glory which I had before the world was even created, the glory which you, my Father, has. As glorified and immortal members of the God family, we will rule under God the Father and with and under Christ for all eternity. That, brethren, is the good news. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God.